Welcome to the Victory Lane podcast for July 7th. Today we look back over the last short stretch in vintage racing and begin a series of short reports on the scene as it's played out in the last 10 days or so. We had a couple of successful events here, the Vintage Grand Prix at Mid-Ohio with the Kastner Cup, and of course the Pacific Northwest Historics at Pacific Raceways in Seattle. Today, speaking to us about the Kastner Cup and assorted fun is John Lacco. John is a regular contributor to Victory Lane magazine. John, I understand you recently went to the Kastner Cup and of course the SVRA vintage race at Mid-Ohio. What was it like?
It was terrific to see so many great triumphs out there battling it out. Was just wonderfully rewarding for a car guy like me to see everything from Spitfires to TR7s and you name it, everything between.
Any particular favorites?
Oh, gosh. There was a TR8, as I recall, one TR8. That's always pretty impressive. But the TR6s, I think, were really, really exceptional. A real competitive car. I've forgotten how competitive they were.
Well, and certainly seeing a fleet of them door to door.
Yeah, and of course the other thing was the Triumph Vitesse, I think, the sedan. My God, I forgot. You know, you see them competing in England, and you're shocked by how fast they are. And there were some there, and they were doing pretty good for what we always thought of as an English schoolmarm's car, you know, in this country. And there it was out there being very competitive.
Well, it's a pretty distinctive shape, right?
Yeah, I would say so, yeah. Yeah, you can't miss that, you know?
Right. As an American, you could probably draw a picture of a TR4A or a TR6. Certainly, if you're my age, you can draw a picture of a doorstop, a TR7.
Yeah, right, yep.
But a Vitesse is a little stranger.
Not to mention TR2s. And yeah, this one, you know, this was a 1970. It was a fairly recent. And I think Chuck G was the driver. That was pretty impressive car. The GT6s were fast, too. I think second through fourth or fifth was all GT6s after a GT or a TR6.
Hmm.
So at least in the first race. Because they had two races, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. In fact, I'm just looking up here, and that Vitesse, I think that's how you pronounce it, finished fifth or sixth in the second race, you know, ahead of a whole bunch of GT6s and TR4s and all kinds of stuff. So pretty amazing. It was a great event.
Anything else on the weekend that stands out to you?
Yes. Surprisingly, a Maserati Tipo 151, which they only made like three of them. And they were at Le Mans in 62 through 65. And I think somewhere in there, they clocked one at 188 miles an hour down the Mulsanne Straight. And this one was a replica that was made for apparently some German industrialists after this. After, you know, the others had their moment in the spotlight. But that was pretty cool to see that out there. You don't see Maseratis, and particularly Maseratis of that vintage. You know, Maseratis that are, well, a replica of a car that actually competed at Le Mans in 1965. So that was pretty much a high point of the weekend for me.
Wow. So, and when you say replica, do you know, was this car actually built by Maserati?
The bodywork is done on the original bucks from the original cars. It was terrific. And I think the guy, because of, you know, I mean, there's one of the three originals remaining and this replica. Yeah, he wasn't really pushing it. You know, he wasn't running with the Corvettes, let's say. But it was great to see it out there and wonderful to hear.
Yeah, I would imagine it sounds fantastic.
Oh, my God, yes. Yep.
Yeah, that's got to be a treat.
Yeah, it really, and for Mid-Ohio, you know, it wasn't Road America or Laguna Seca or someplace like that, but it was at Mid-Ohio. So So even more of a surprise, even more of a delight.
Right. Yeah, we're very used to the idea that people drag out, you know, historical stuff for the Rolex, or if you get an invitation to Goodwood, you're bringing the good stuff, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But this was not a little event. I mean, obviously,
no.
You know, it was a big racing weekend at one of America's premier tracks.
Yep.
And had a lot of excitement. And of course, the Kastner Cup elevates any vintage event.
Yep. Yes, it does. And well, you know, and they combined other things as well. You know, there was a Trans Am race, and there was the F4, and then the FR America cars were there, open wheel cars. So it was a real good mix. We would have liked to see more vintage cars, of course, but it was a great weekend.
Sounds awesome.
I always enjoy going to Mid-Ohio because I think it is one of the most photogenic tracks in the country. It just has so many great places to photograph from that you got to kind of shy away from your favorites, or otherwise every picture is going to look the same of every car, you know, because there's just some spectacular places to photograph. Gotta kind of keep moving. Can't just settle in and say, oh man, this looks so great, I'm going to shoot everybody here.
Well, as somebody on the other end of that equation, I certainly appreciate the effort. You make the editor's life easier.
Yes, well, that's one of my purposes. It's down the list a little bit, but it's there. And
you're not considering my pain and suffering every time you pick up your camera.
Well, it's in the back of my mind. But I just like to photograph cars in action and look at them, their performance and how they look at speed, you know, through different corners from different angles and all of that to really get a feeling for what that car's capable of. So I wander a lot. I don't stay in one spot and shoot everything that goes by.
No, well, that's makes a good photographer. That's the answer to that. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
We appreciate
thank
the
you.
Coverage you provide.
Yeah.
And the, you know.
Yep. We have fun. Yep.
Anything else you'd like to share?
Just that we're looking forward to going to Road America. That's going to be, I think, a wonderful event this year. So we're really excited about going there again.
Awesome. Unfortunately for me, I'm not going to make it to Road America this year.
Yeah, but that's a disappointment. We kind of look forward to seeing you.
Well, and I look forward to meeting everybody. And of course, who doesn't want to go to the WeatherTech? What a great event that is.
It is.
This year, you've got a big, I think they've dragged every shadow ever made. Pretty cool.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, shadows always make a strong appearance at the WeatherTech. So this one's ought to be even, you know, among the best, without a doubt, among the best. So we're looking forward to that too. It'll be a fun.
Yeah, they're gonna do the parade in Plymouth this time instead of in Elkhart, so you should get some new visuals. Yeah,
that's gonna be interesting. The problem, it's very frustrating to try to shoot that. I mean, in Elkhart, once they got there, because there's so many bodies, so many people, that you can barely get a picture of one car, much less a nice, you know, an avenue filled with automobiles. Forget it. There's just too many people. So I like to shoot them on the way because, again, they're driving and, you know, the driver doesn't have a helmet or a suit on or anything, and they're waving to people. And it's a kind of a friendly, happy picture with a race car going down a public road. So we're looking forward to that. This should be a good one.
I think the most interesting part for me is the exit, you know, to go out and watch him leave or whatever. But Elkhart is a great little town and certainly full of character, and it's a beautiful event. But the fact that they have a nice straight street to put them on in Plymouth, shooting that event when they get the cars parked, you need a fisheye lens.
Right, or a drone, and they certainly wouldn't... they'd frown on a drone overhead, so can't do that.
Oh yes. Oh, the media pass says all over it, no drones.
I always thought took that as just at the track, perhaps, but nevertheless, it's not good practice to fly over a crowd like that with a drone.
No, absolutely we shouldn't joke about that. Obviously operating a drone with recommending that. No.
Absolutely not. No. So yeah, it's going to be fun. We're ready to go. I look at those photographs from every year. I mean, they are among my most prized images each year is what comes back from the weather check.
Well, right. I know you're a regular poster on the Facebook National Park of Speed group.
Yep.
We should give them a little boost. If you're interested in racing in Road America, all the photographers regularly support that. So
yep.
Pretty much 365 days a year.
Yep.
You can get a little fix of Road America.
That's right. And the WeatherTech's pretty prominent in those offerings. Everybody has some pictures and they love to share them. And particularly when somebody brings a picture, you know, perhaps of a car back in the day competing at Road America, and everyone who has pictures of the car competing in a recent event posts theirs. So, you know, it's a great kind of round table or at least a exchange medium for all of us who need that fix of Road America.
Right. And a big round of thanks goes out to the group admins who keep that up and running.
Yes.
Keep everybody
absolutely
in line.
Yep. And I found another Facebook page too from a smaller track here in Michigan, Grattan. And I just discovered this just a week or so ago. And that's a pretty interesting Facebook page too. And I'm sure Mid-Ohio has one. And, you know, and the other tracks I'm sure do as well. So, you know, gosh, you can certainly get your fill of whatever track is your favorite by checking out these Facebook pages.
Yeah, that's true. I think the thing that attracts me to the National Park of Speed group is that it's a fan administered page.
Yes.
And I think it's very typical of the, you know, what I think of as the hospitable spirit of Wisconsin.
Yes.
It's a passion project,
yep,
of people that attend the events,
yep,
and are very excited about, you know, the track and its history and all that kind of, yeah, it's a great,
yep,
thing.
And there's another one too, Kelly, you probably know about it, called Remembering Riverside. For all of us who were at Riverside in the late 60s and right up to the closing days, that's a pretty interesting Facebook page as well. And again, there's no official track there anymore, so it's all fan generated. So that's one to check out.
Remembering Riverside, so we'll have to look at that.
Yeah.
I know there's a Laguna Seca and a Sears Point, of course, no longer called Sears Point, Sonoma,
yeah,
Raceway. But yeah, this is a Riverside. John, what's your association with Riverside? I thought you were firmly entrenched in the Midwest there.
No, I was in California in the late 60s and frequented Riverside and Laguna Seca from 67 to 70 and shot. So I've got stuff from those tracks, and we always loved Riverside. God. So yeah, my image file goes back quite
awesome.
A ways.
Well, we'll have to do a retrospective on that.
Yeah,
and yeah,
you know, it's fun to see cars that you shot back in the day and see them on the track again. You know, I think at least 6-7 years ago at Road America. There's Jerry Anton's car that I photographed at Riverside in 1967. God, that's Anton's car. So we're sitting there at lunch, and I'm sitting next to the guy who owns it. And I'm telling him, oh, yeah, I photographed that car at Riverside in 67 at the USRRC. And Jerry Anton, he says, well, Jerry Anton's sitting right over there across the table. So that was a real surprise. Wow. And, you know, that's really that connection from back then to today is remarkable, just remarkable to have that happen.
Right. You've got the car in history. You've got the car, in fact, today.
Yeah.
And by God, you got Jerry Anton as well.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's the Can-Am tent. You know, you get all these wonderful people wandering by, and
it is just remarkable the people who come through there. My God.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's you know, one of the best events we go to all year. We really enjoy it.
Hopefully there's a next year because I want to be there. Well, thank you so much for having a chat with me. Hopefully we can do this again.
Yeah, of course. It's fun. I'd love to talk about what we see on the track and help people enjoy it.
Well, thank you for helping me out today. Look forward to chatting with you in the future. Maybe we could do a little live chat from the WeatherTech if you have time to do that. That would be great.
Yeah. Yeah, we could do that.
Well, we'll set that up. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Good afternoon. Yeah.
Yep. Well, thanks for calling. Good talking to you.
You too. Take care.
Bye. Bye-bye.